This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and as you can hear, we are broadcasting remotely as Joy transitions to the brand new studios at the Victorian Pride Centre in St Kilda over the coming weeks. But we will keep broadcasting 24/7 throughout, and tonight I'm excited to be joined on the Worldwide Wave panel by Stefan.
Good evening.
And Paul.
Hello. Do you ever think about the future? Do you dream big of an ideal world or focus on more achievable short-term hopes? Thinking about the future can be both liberating and daunting. So thinking about the future of LGBTI rights is exactly what one English author dared to ask 35 leading minds who shared their thoughts in a book that's just been released.
The book is titled We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights. Amelia Habraham challenged the contributors to cast their minds forward to look at where LGBT rights need to move, from violence against trans people or sex education in school to LGBT mental health or the broad spectrum of gender. Here's a taste of what is coming up tonight.
And yeah, transphobia pops up in lots of different forms. So in Love and Dating, Peppermint's written this essay that's basically about trans dating stigma. And it's about her experiences sort of growing up watching the Jerry Springer show and seeing these sort of like transgender reveals on the Jerry Springer show and how horribly the male partner of these trans women would react and how violently, and how that sort of shaped her conception of herself as a trans woman, and then sort of some of the absolute, I don't want to swear on air, BS that she has been through in her trans dating life.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week, like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
From drag queens to singers, from academic to activist, a broad range of LGBTIQ people have been canvassed for their views on the future of LGBT rights. The likes of Brazilian drag queen Pablo Vittar, actor and singer Olim Alexander, journalist and mental health advocate Owen Jones, American singer-songwriter Beth Ditto, Peppermint from RuPaul's Drag Race. They are all part of the new book, We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights. The author of the book is Amelia Habraham, and she joined us from London. We started by asking Amelia what drove her to put this book together.
I think something certainly here that we sort of say or talk about a lot is, you know, we haven't come as far as we think when it comes to LGBTQ plus rights. So, you know, we have a lot of rights on paper, like same-sex marriage, or, you know, you can start a family as a queer person, or we have really great top-line visibility. You know, you could be on the front of a magazine, or you could, you know, you could be an overnight superstar from going on RuPaul's Drag Race UK. But that doesn't necessarily equate to material safety. And that's something I wrote about in my first book, Queer Intentions, which came out in 2019. That was kind of a first person piece of reportage where I go across the Western world and I explore the mainstreaming of queer culture and what it actually means for queer people. And the conclusion of that was like, oh, okay, you know, we have all this stuff, but actually that doesn't necessarily mean that we're safe from violence, for instance. So this book explores that further and actually asks, well, what is wrong then? What are some of the problems we still face? And most importantly, what can we actually do about them?
So how did you choose the participants for the book?
Yeah, I think I asked a lot of people, and there are quite a lot of people in the book, but definitely not as many as I asked. So there's 35 essays, which sounds like a lot, but I think that's really good because it was about bringing in as many voices as possible. So I essentially drew up a list of LGBTQ plus people that I think are awesome. And then I started bugging their PRs or bugging them over Instagram or pulling in favors with friends. So yeah, we've got a real mix. We've got some, you know, super famous people. We've got like Pablo Vittar, who kind of technically is the most famous drag queen in the world, I think. She's huge in Brazil. And then we've got Ollie Alexander, Beth Ditto, Peppermint from Drag Race. And then we've got some incredible, quite well-known writers and performers from the UK. Amru Al-Khadi, Tom Rasmussen, Sean Fay, Juliet Jakes and Owen Jones, people like that. Lady Phil, who started UK Black Pride. So like a really good mixture of people. I guess I just wanted to represent people from countries across the world as best as possible, and then people across the LGBTQ plus spectrum. So there are voices from Bangladesh, Russia, South Korea, and also Nigeria and Uganda in the book.
Any Aussies on there?
You know what? I knew you were going to ask me that. Of course, I can't say who, but I actually asked quite a few very well-known Australian people, but it turns out you Aussie gays are just a bit busier than everyone else. Something, I don't know.
Locked down, maybe. But that, yeah, we'll save us for your next book. Next book, yeah.
Exactly. I think there'll be quite a few people that you might have heard of if you're a reader from Australia, for sure, especially sort of in this age where, you know, a lot of the people, you know, we're following a lot of people online and they can be anywhere. And then also people that you'll discover that are new. There are some people in there that no one will have heard of. And I hope that those more famous people are used sort of drawing attention to the stories of those lesser known people.
What? Why do you want to have lesser known people?
I think to highlight stories that we just don't hear so often. You know, we're really good in the queer community at sort of uplifting more marginalised voices and always like looking to the next struggle. And I think it was to do with that. So I'll give you a couple of examples. There's an academic called Levi Hoard, who I met at an event we were both speaking at. And Levi is about, I think, maybe 23 years old and like this brilliant mind, I think going to, you know, be like up there in the future with Jack Halberstam or Judith Butler. And they've written this incredible essay about why we need to stop thinking about pregnancy in such a gendered way. And it's about trans family making and trans families of the future. And it's just like, it's really like sci-fi and speculative, but also really well researched and amazing. So there's people like that I just was like, I want the world to know about this person. And then I'll give you one more example. It's another sort of person I've encountered through my work called Mazharal Islam. He's from Bangladesh and he joined a kind of online chat group for gay men in Bangladesh about a decade ago called Boys of Bangladesh. And it sort of built up and got bigger and bigger and became an activist organization there, which of course is very dangerous work because homosexuality is still criminalized and was then. And unfortunately, other members of the activist group of Boys of Bangladesh were murdered in an anti-LGBTQ plus hate crime, and Maz was receiving death threats on his life. So having lost two of his really good friends, he had to flee the country literally overnight. And now he lives in the UK, and every year he does a protest outside the Bangladeshi High Commission calling for decriminalisation. So I really wanted more people to hear this, albeit horrific, story, because it's extremely affecting, and I think it shows why decriminalization is so, so, so important. So you might not heard of Maz, but I can guarantee that you'll be crying by the time you've finished reading his beautiful essay.
Amelia Abraham on her book, We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights, with us on Joy 94.9. This issue about the mainstreaming of queer culture, it's a tough one. Do we want to be normalised, if you like, assimilated within the broader, accepted within the broader community, or do we want to stand out a bit? How do we fit in?
Well, I think for me, it sums up by what you said. The first thing she said, we haven't come as far as we think. And I think being mainstreamed I think may give us this false sense of safety, I think, and not, you know, and I think that's when we talk about all the controversy about pride, whether it should carry on, whether it should stop, because we've gone far enough. Well, if we stop all this, if we really become the mainstream, I think it's just we won't progress as much, and then it's easy to then be put back. We talk about on this show a lot of the you know, the step back, setbacks for the community.
I would say we should have both. We should be mainstream and also be able to stand out as something different, something unique, something special. I mean, is getting equal marriage rights, is that being mainstreamed? I mean, that's something that we've fought for and achieved. I would, as Stefan said, I wouldn't want that to go back.
Exactly. That potential regression in rights is something we have to keep watching. Unfortunately, no Aussies in there. In fact, nobody really from our Asia-Pacific region. Maybe there's some people that we could suggest to Amelia for her next book. You know, Michael Kirby was the one that sort of came to my mind straight away as being an eminent LGBT leader and activist.
I was wondering when she made the comment that they were all too busy, I was wondering what they were doing since we've been in lockdown for most of 2020.
Any other thoughts on people?
I was going to say Magda Sabansky.
Yeah.
She was very prominent in the marriage debate.
Benjamin Law, definitely somebody that's a
great writer and comedian. Yeah. And yeah, he'd write a cracking story, I reckon. I would actually really like to see, given Australia's love of sport, see sport tackled. You know, we've had Matthew Mitchum as an out Olympian, Casey Conway, an out rugby league player. I think it would be great to hear their thoughts on how sport can transform, because it really seems to lag behind on so many other things. Now, Amelia mentioned there that, you know, she's got some high-profile people and some lesser-known people, and she's hoping the lesser-known stories get heard because people might be attracted by the high-profile people. Would you prefer to hear from the high-profile people or, you know, lesser-known people with a voice?
I would say that the lesser-known, because I think that's where the strength comes from our program, where we actually get to give people a voice, a platform that otherwise wouldn't necessarily have a platform.
Yeah, but I think, you know, having more people known, that might appeal to people that will not read the stories of lesser-known people, you know. So if you're not so sure about LGBTQI issue, you might read, you know, Magda Bozubensky more than somebody from Toowoomba that we've never heard of, which is absolutely as valuable story. I'm not, you know, lessening that, but it might, in terms of impact, then it might then push people to read the lesser learned people.
If we want to get the books into people's hands, then it's going to have some celebrity pull.
Coming up, we ask Amelia, what were the common threads that came through from the contributors to her book? You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Georgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride on Worldwide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Now, we are broadcasting outside the studio, but you can still message us. Go to our Facebook page, Worldwide Wave, or the shortcut W3Joy. Send us a message and we'll include it in next week's show. Very soon, we'll be back in the new studios at the Pride Centre to take your messages live.
Joy 94.9.
It's blue sky thinking tonight on Worldwide Wave. And as we gather around the virtual whiteboard, we're looking at the future of LGBT rights as seen through the eyes of 35 diverse members of the rainbow community. It's part of a recently released book, We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights, authored by Amelia Abraham. We asked Amelia if there were any common threads, topics that were on the minds of the contributors as they think about the future of the global LGBTI community?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Because, as I say, there's quite a broad bunch of topics, but there are things that you do notice sort of popping up here and there again and again, and they're sort of like threads that come through. For instance, transphobia, I mean, that's a huge problem in the UK. So we've got all these different chapters, right? We've got the first chapter is called Basic Safety. Then we've got one on visibility. Then we've got one on love and dating, then care in the community, and then beyond the binary, and then community and organizing. And yeah, transphobia pops up in lots of different forms. So in love and dating, Peppermint's written this essay that's basically about trans dating stigma. And it's about her experiences sort of growing up watching the Jerry Springer Show and seeing these sort of like transgender reveals on the Jerry Springer Show and how horribly the male partner of these trans women would react and how violently, and how that sort of shaped her conception of herself as a trans woman. And then sort of some of the absolute, I don't want to swear on air, BS that she has been through in her trans dating life. You know, people saying, I only meet up with you in private, or some of the things they say. So there's that. And then there's another essay about media transphobia in Britain and how sort of brazenly the UK media are, you know, openly transphobic. It's just a huge, huge problem here. I don't know about in Australia. So yeah, transphobia is something that crops up again and again. And then in other sort of unexpected places, like there's an essay by someone called Juno Rush about why it's really important to care for our LGBTQ plus elderly. And she talks about her fears of transphobia when she can perhaps no longer look after herself and she has to go into a nursing home, and how she might encounter it there and how that makes her feel. So yeah, that's one example. And I think it's probably one of the most important frontiers in LGBTQ plus rights is fighting that rampant transphobia.
They're all, I guess, designed to be thought-provoking. Was there one that, you know, you weren't expecting that you just read and went, wow, I've never really thought about that?
Yeah, one of the essays that I definitely learned the most from was by someone called Yasmin Benoit, who is an underwear model, but also an asexuality visibility activist. And she's brilliantly candid about how people sort of might not expect those two things to go hand in hand. And she's also brilliant explaining, you know, why they do. So she gives these insights into what it's like to be asexual. Some of the things that people say to you, some of the misconceptions around it, some of the feelings that she's had trying to participate in Pride, because I don't think asexuality isn't always sort of fully embraced in Pride parades or other Pride events. And then she goes on to talk about, you know, how we can do better by the asexual community and how asexual visibility is nascent. I hadn't really thought about this. There's still not enough of it. That puts us at a really good moment where we can kind of think about what we want that to look like or how to shape it. There's obviously been a huge explosion in trans visibility over the last decade. And it's sort of like thinking, what lessons can we learn from that when we're thinking about asexual visibility or indeed intersex visibility? So I think that was really interesting to me.
And a couple of the others that I saw, Ollie Alexander, singer-songwriter, of course, he's been, you know, worldwide smash hit with It's a Sin, but he is also an activist. He has been quite outspoken on LGBT issues. What did he have to say?
Is It's a Sin as massive in Australia as it is here?
Yes, absolutely.
It's great, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. He did this like amazing Glastonbury talk that's on YouTube. So he's playing at Glastonbury and he did this speech about why LGBT rights and knowing your LGBT history is so important. And I think that was sort of one of the main motivators. That the editor of the book is called Alex Russell at Penguin, and he is gay. And he watched that and was like, I want to work on this book because of this video. So Ollie was kind of a big influence. And his essay is all about his memories of being at school and the sort of homophobia he would encounter in the classroom, how liberally gay was sort of thrown around as an insult, and how everyone used to sing the song You've Got AIDS from South Park at him. And then he sort of talks about growing up and how he internalized a lot of that shame, and how I suppose the fact that he wasn't taught about sex and relationships means that he felt a lot of shame around sex, and that led to not necessarily practicing safe sex, and definitely a lot of shame when it came to accessing PrEP. So then he talks about if we had better sex and relationships in school and teachers were better equipped to deal with that sort of stuff, it would really change things down the course of the line for LGBT people, and how teaching sex and relationships particularly is super important because it sort of, I hate the word, normalizes it, but, you know, it teaches acceptance from a younger age to everyone, and how that would make things a lot better in terms of LGBTQ plus discrimination.
Author of We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights, Amelia Abraham on Joy 94.9. The trans community seems to be finding some voice. There's some very obvious things, actions, activism against violence and against murders of trans people. I hadn't really thought about the media transphobia as being as much of an issue.
Yeah, I was a bit puzzled by that when she said it was quite obvious, because coming from the UK, I mean, I haven't been in the UK for some time, so it may be more obvious now, but I can't really think of it being particularly obvious.
And trans dating stigma, again, I have never thought of that. So this is why these books are quite good in opening your minds, but how the experiences of, you know, not just the Jerry Springer Show, but dating experiences of trans people and, you know, what they have, really bad behaviour that they've had to put up with.
It's interesting about the comment about Jerry Springer Show and those sort of shows, those, because obviously they've basically fallen out of favour, but the impact they had on younger people when they were running is still being felt today. And that hadn't occurred to me. I mean, it should have occurred to me, but it hadn't actually occurred to me that that would still be on people's conscience and on people's minds even in these days.
But have they fallen out of favor? We still see rerun. They're still showing. There's still new episodes going on. So it might be at the time we don't watch TV, but I think it's still around. Because recently, I think it's the UK version of it with, was it Kyle something? I can't remember. Stopped because of a really dreadful stuff that happened as a result of the show.
Yeah, there was a death involved.
Yeah, and so I think these shows are still around, and they make a mockery actually of people's life, and that's what is really, really difficult with. And I've never been able to watch this thing because it just makes it awful. It paints it in an awful picture under the premise of helping people,
when really it's trash TV. We've talked before about the LGBT community getting older and how, you know, we might transition into things like nursing homes. Again, hadn't really thought about the experience of a trans person and how that might be even more complicated.
We don't disappear when we suddenly hit 50 or 40. We do actually have lives beyond those ages. They say that, Matt, for a trans person moving into a straight nursing home must have some serious challenges if they're not set up to do to help that person.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some trans people who will break down the barriers and do the hard yards so that lessons can be learnt. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear what an LGBT historian has learned from our past and how it relates to the future of our community's rights. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam Apple and Top from Apple Models in Thailand, the world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
A special hello to everyone listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes or whatever your preferred platform for podcasts is. And don't forget to leave a review.
Now, podcasts are just one of the services Joy provides, and we can only make them happen with members and donations. So we are coming up to the end of financial year. If you're looking at your tax and thinking you need to give some money away to support our community, then Joy is where you can go. Go to joy.org.au. Take out a membership or leave us a donation, and all donations over $2 are tax deductible.
Joy 94.9.
Our guest tonight is Amelia Abraham, author of the book We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights. The book, just released this last week, brings together the ideas, the hopes, the dreams of 35 leading LGBT thinkers across a broad range of topics impacting our community. One of the contributors to the book was Matthew Reimer. He's an author, historian, and founder of the online LGBT History Group. It's got over 700,000 followers on Instagram. Given Matthew's strong understanding of where the rainbow community has come from, we asked Amelia where Matthew saw us going as a community in the future.
Yeah, his is also about accessing our history, but he talks about it in a really different way. He talks about how we can't be liberated until we understand the history of liberation struggles and why that's really important. And he draws attention to a lot of incredible fights that we might not know about, and sort of urges everyone to get down to their local library or to you know, even follow some of these accounts online and really delve into the history. And what's really interesting about Matthew's essay is he was writing it, and you can really tell this from reading it, during the summer of 2020, when there was a new eruption of Black Lives Matter protests. And his essay takes a particular focus on Black queer struggles for liberation and really talks about why it's really important to seek out knowledge of that. And I think admittedly, having sort of edited his essay, it made me realize I didn't necessarily know about those histories. So he sends us to a lot of amazing people like Angela Davis, James Baldwin, Barbara Smith, or Audre Lorde, queer Black writers that are really important. Go back to understand their work so we can understand how we can be better anti-racist allies going forward.
And so now you've seen all these stories. We hear across the world lots of struggles of the LGBT community. How much hope did you hear in those stories?
Yeah, I think that was one of the challenges creating the book, because obviously if you want to talk about what needs to change, you're going to have to delve into some really difficult issues. And the first thing I want to say is I don't want to apologize for that in the book, because I think a trap that we fall into a lot is like, oh, you know, you're sort of like the sassy best friend character, or you're the drag queen, or you're sort of here for our entertainment, or you're here for us to pop along to your super fun pride parade once a year and then, you know, not really do anything for the rest of the year. And actually, it's really nice to create a moment where we can say, actually, we're angry about these things, we're not happy with these things, and our lives are literally on the line. So here's what needs to be done. And then, yeah, we move on to the sort of practical side. So all essays have a sort of roadmap for what they'd like to be different. So they suggest like really practical things we can do. That might be like, you know, in an essay about LGBT homelessness, it's like talking about all the different ways you can sort of volunteer or help LGBTQ plus homeless people. Or, you know, a shift in attitude, a conversation. There's an essay on practical ways to be an ally. So there's so much in there about what we can do. And I think there is quite a lot of hope. I think what we're really good at as queer people is sort of also finding the humour in pain. And so while it is angry, there's definitely some really hilarious moments, and there's definitely some sort of creativity in how they how the essayists tackle their topics. So I think it is very hopeful, especially towards the end. I made sure that there's a sort of runoff in a hopeful way at the end, in those sections on community and organizing. And they just offer so many visions of like what the next 10 years of activism should look like.
The book is We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights. And the author is Amelia Abraham, speaking to us from London. Thank you so much, Amelia, for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thank you for having me.
The idea of history, you know, history never repeats, or history always repeats. Do we ever learn from our struggles? Are we getting better at learning from history, do you think?
No. Sorry.
Oh, that was so quick. Quick.
That was very quick.
Well, I don't think we do. I mean, you've only got to look at the struggles for racial equality across the world, and yet we're still fighting for that. I mean, it's been going on since, what, the 50s, 60s, and the 70s, and here we are in the 21st, 22nd, whatever century we're in now, and it's still happening.
And I think it's what I was mentioning earlier as well, that there are setbacks, and, I mean, you can see that the history repeating, so you just have to continue fighting.
We can't even get gender right.
Maybe the younger generations will take care of that for us. Black Queer Lives Matter came out as one of the stories as well, and it did get me thinking about here in Australia and our Indigenous communities and the struggles that the queer members of that community have had.
Is that another one of those that's marginalized with, even within inside the community? Another one like the asexual and bisexuals just don't, for some other reason, just don't really get the voice that they deserve to get in the community.
It's the intersectionality of a lot of issues. Maybe we're going a bit deeper now, and you're cutting across multiple issues, and that's what's making it a little more complicated. Amelia mentioned, she said, it's okay to be angry. Do you think there seems to be a lot of online activism, used to be called clicktivism? Are we doing enough? Should we be getting out on the streets and having some good old-fashioned rallies and things like that?
Well, if you want to be vilified because of COVID, that's what you can do. But, I mean, will we ever be doing enough? I think that's the thing. Yes, the clicks work in some places, you know, the boycott campaign. I think it's more than just one action. It's constant action on different front is what's going to help rather than, you know. So it's not a question of, are we doing enough? Are we doing enough of different things to then put together, then make a difference?
But all right, is there enough people doing enough? Yeah, so
yes,
is there is a vocal community that is pushing for the activism and to get things done. But if the general population is not going with them,
yeah,
but it's going to slow things down at least.
It's the allies that give extra power to it. So in marriage equality debate, it wasn't actually the LGBT community voting that delivered a result. It was the broader community saying, yes, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. But when you look at even the online things, when you look at people that contributed to the book, like Owen Johns, I follow on Twitter, and the amount of abuse he gets, daily abuse from people. So, you know, so there's still so much to do for his views on trans issue, for his views on LGBTIQ issues, for his political views as well, because he's Labour. So there's a lot, it's just constant. And I don't know how these people cope. You know, I don't know how you cope with so much hate online, and a lot of people don't cope very well.
Creativity is something that our community is known for, whether it's a, you know, Mardi Gras or things like that. Hopefully there's some creative solutions that can be made that can make a difference in the future.
But also, is that a double-edged sword? Because we're then seen as the...
Yeah, but should you stop doing something because people are going to not like it? You know, or should you stop expressing yourself the way you are because it might make some people uncomfortable? So I think it goes back to what we're saying at the beginning and the mainstream thing. We've gone too mainstream now that we're stopping ourselves from doing things because it's going to annoy people.
Perhaps we're losing what makes us different.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on World Wide Wave.
You're on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. A huge thank you to Amenia Abraham, author of the book We Can Do Better Than This, 35 Voices on the Future of LGBT Rights. You can find her book at the usual places, so Hares and Hyenas in Melbourne, the bookshop in Sydney, and of course, you can find it at your favourite online bookstore.
And thank you to everybody for the messages on Facebook. Betty, Selena, Josh, Alejandro, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And our awesome behind-the-scenes team, Peter, our podcaster, and Dean, our social media master. Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.